Give the Lord a praise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. Lord, we sense that you are here with us, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. Father, we just ask you to bless this word as it comes forth, Lord, that it will penetrate into our hearts. And Lord, we're so thankful that we can gather, Lord, as your body, as your church. Lord God, that you made us stronger when we're together. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, church. And good morning to the church online. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see your faces. Is that Emma back there? Praise God. Good to see you. Amen. Who all's back there? Hello, Octavia. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. And Tim and Leslie changed seats on me. Welcome, family. Just smile at someone. Say, glad you're here. Friends and guests, glad you're here. One by one, the sheep are coming home. Hallelujah. So we're honored that you're here this morning, that you chose to spend time here at River of Life today. And we are excited to participate with the Back to Church Sunday, which is a nationwide event. And so across the nation, with the thousands of churches that are gathering today, the theme is, we are stronger together. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather and reflect on God's love and on the true nature of the church. And that is the place where Jesus Christ brings love and he brings hope and restores our souls. Hallelujah. As a church, we're his hands and we're feet in the Michiana area, and the River of Life flows to the nations of the world. And as you could see in the video presentation, the church has always been active in meeting the needs when there's a time of crisis. You can count on Jesus to always be there in a time of crisis. And you know, there's nothing that the church cannot accomplish when we're all working together as one. Let's turn to Matthew 18:20 this morning. Once again, our theme is we are stronger together. And let's read this passage together. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So if there was ever any doubt or any sense of taking for granted, the COVID-19 pandemic has surely reminded us of how much we need each other. And there's an old cliche that says you don't know what you have until it's gone. And there's so much meaning to that cliche. Having to distance ourselves from each other is a powerful reminder of the value and the importance of our need for connection. We've all been living probably one of the most difficult times of our life as we have been required to separate because we're reminded that we belong in community. You know, I was having withdrawals from not being with our family and not being with our church family. It was difficult because I love the connectedness and the relationship and the strength that I gain and the encouragement that I gain and the hope that comes to my soul every time I'm with my family and the people of God. There's no other place that I would rather be than with God's people. There was an old song that said, I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Hallelujah. What a sight just to see all their happy faces praising God in heavenly places. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. That thrill is because there's life there. There's life. There's the life of God that flows out of us. That's an energy that you actually can feel. When you open up your heart to what God is doing, You can sense the power of His presence when you gather with God's people. And all it takes is two or three. So when we are gathered in His name, we know that He is here. He's in the midst of all of that. And even though we couldn't be together directly during some of the shutdown, we were still together on Zoom calls and on Zoom prayer and on Zoom classes. And thank God for modern technology. You know, we're adjusting to modern technology. And I thank God that He's given us a new wineskin. You know, the scripture says, I cannot pour new wine into old wineskins. And so we needed to be in a place where we wanted to connect with one another. And so we began to use the technology that God gave us for His glory. And I believe the whole world, the church across the world, has joined in so many prayer meetings and Zoom calls. And God's connected us in a whole new way as the body of Christ that extends across the world because we're stronger together. Amen, amen. So as we talk today, we're going to go to the book of Ecclesiastes, and that's in Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes is a book of wisdom from the Bible, and its narrator says it's the teacher or the preacher. Just really depends upon which translation you have. But it's usually accredited to Solomon or possibly someone who was writing for Solomon, but it doesn't exactly say. And if you're using your Bible, and it's good to get out the old Bible. Of course, it's so convenient to use our electronics. But if you're in the Bible, it's a little past halfway through. Psalms is the middle of the Bible. I think chapter 117 might be the center chapter of the Bible, and I think the middle verse is in Psalm 103. But anyway, it's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. The author of this book is pointing out the ironies and the empty pursuits of life. It's really not a book that you turn to a whole lot just to read. But it is a very rich book because it gives wise insights of life along the way. We all enjoy the wise sayings of Proverbs, which is really good to read a chapter a day. What's today, the 20th? Today you would read Proverbs 20, and you'll find a lot of wise sayings that you could apply to your life to live. And Ecclesiastes is much the same way. The teacher was sharing, vanity of vanities. Life is full of vanities. Basically, he's saying, what do you have at the end of your life? And he continues to point people to God, because He's the only thing that's left. When this life is done, we are meeting with our Maker. And nothing that we've worked so hard for is going with us. And that's what he's talking about. So the passage we're going to look at is regarding the importance of being in a relationship. And this is a passage that many people use in wedding ceremonies. And as I was preparing this lesson, I was reminded just a little over a year ago, Rachel and Aaron used this passage in their wedding ceremony. And happy anniversary to them. So Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Let's read it together. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Praise God. Two is better than one. When you read this passage, you know, you begin to think in modern times. And how can one be warm alone when they lie down? We have electric blankets and and dogs, but you're not alone. That's a warm little body there. Oh, and Leslie and Tim just got a new puppy. Congratulations. That reminded me. She's alone right now. Oh. But let's take it into what God is talking about. He's talking about relationship, the importance of being connected, the importance of a threefold cord. And when you think about a cord, most of you have used a rope at some time or another. Yes? Have most of you grabbed a hold of a rope? You ever been skiing and you grab a hold of that tow rope? Or some of you might be mountain climbers, rock climbers. You've got a rope that sustains you, that you depend upon. Ropes are made of individual strands that are woven together that makes it very strong. And the rope goes way back in human history because ropes were used to tie up animals. They were used to lead animals, and we still use ropes to lead animals. And all of that led to food and survival. Ropes can pull heavy objects and can actually help to build structures and homes. When you have rope to move things, the Egyptians used them to build the pyramids. At least that's what it looked like according to the movies we've watched. You might use one to carry something. We've all seen the ropes that help people across the river and the rope bridges. Have you ever been on one of those? A little scary. Ropes were used for sailing, and that actually became a main part of transportation. So ropes were convenient, and they actually were lifesavers. So it's important to realize that a rope, just a few strings in that rope, is not very strong, cannot sustain weight. But when you put it all together, when you multiply it, it becomes a powerful rope. And we're very much the same. We are like a rope. We are stronger as we're woven together in Christ. And that happens on multiple levels. And so we're going to explore three of those today. And the first one is, we are stronger in Christ. So when we talk about strength, we have to begin with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only source of our strength. He is our strength. And the Apostle Paul, in this passage in Philippians, he was thanking the people who had helped him in time of need. Let's read this together. Philippians 4:11 through 14. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. And what we usually hear quoted is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many have said that this week? Yeah, this is something we depend upon. The strength that comes from Christ. Paul was talking about finding contentment in every circumstance that he was in, whether he had plenty or want. But in the bigger picture, he was really describing his reliance and sufficiency upon Jesus Christ. Paul understood what it was to live his life in Christ. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. And that is a deep revelation for every Christian to realize our total dependence and reliance comes from our Heavenly Father. Jesus paints an example of this in the book of John, John 15. And he used his surroundings to explain things to his disciples. And probably around him were a lot of vineyards. And he was looking at the vines, and he was looking at the juicy grapes that were on the vine. And realizing that the vine, if it's not planted into the soil to draw up nutrients, then the grapes are not going to get what they need. So the grapes would wither and die and shrivel up if they were not connected to the vine that is connected in the soil. So let's take a look at this. John 15, 5 through 8. The scripture says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch that is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. He is the vine, and we are the branches. Jesus Christ is our source of strength. And you don't have to be a farmer or you don't have to be a gardener to know that if branches are separated from the vine or branches are cut off the tree or they fall down during a storm, those branches are dead. They have no life source. They will shrivel up and starve and they will be cast into the fire. And this is why Jesus reminded his disciples to remain in him. To abide in him, to live in him, because Jesus is the source of life. And this is the strength we draw upon to live this life. The strength that comes from Jesus Christ. It helps us face all of our challenges and human frailty to be the people of God God has called us to be. The scripture says in Acts 17, 28, that in him we live and move and have our being. Even when we're weak, he is strong. And that takes us to the second point, stronger in weakness. So Paul shed some light on this in 2 Corinthians 12. He was writing about a problem he was having and an ongoing trial. How many of you have heard about Paul's thorn in the flesh? We don't know exactly what it was, but we know that he struggled with it. And it was a nagging pain, obviously, something nagging at him that wouldn't go away. And we all have some things nagging at us, maybe. Things that don't go away. That we just want God to take away. But in the midst of all of this, he learned a valuable lesson. And this is what he said. And this is what we're going to look at today. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 11. And he said to me, Paul is talking about the Lord talking to him. So let's read what he said. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I don't know how many of us can say that we take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. But this is how Paul lived his life. And this is the example that we have, that even in the midst of all the pressure, even in the midst of what's going on, which we have absolutely no control over other than to pray. Is that right? There are situations we don't have control over. If we could change them, we'd change them in a heartbeat. But there are situations that we have to take to God and we have to rely on God, because when we're weak, the Lord is strong. Hallelujah. So it's the paradox of the Christian life. It's a different way of living life and looking at life. God created us to be able to look at life. The rest of creation doesn't step back and examine themselves. God didn't give the ability. My dog doesn't think twice about what it just did. But we have the ability to step back from a situation, to evaluate it, and to look at it. Our minds are powerful. God made our minds powerful. We have the ability to think and to choose what we're going to do. We have the ability to think about and choose what we're going to think about. There's all kinds of things that pop into our mind that we don't need to think about. That we need to take that thought captive in the name of Jesus, because it's trying to exalt itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We know that in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. And if anything else is trying to control us, manipulate us, dominate us, it is our responsibility to cut that off. God has given us that ability. He has not given it to any of the rest of His creation. But He has given us free will. We can choose. And so your mind is a powerful gift. And as we accept the Lord Jesus Christ into our life, and we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, the Scripture says that we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. It says old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You've got to look at some things in a different way. You can't continue to think and do the way you used to do. Jesus is calling us to a higher standard. And we thank Him for it. He loves us just as we are. We love people just as they are. You'll find at River of Life, we're a family that accepts and receives people right where they're at. But you know, as you come into this family, God begins to challenge you to change, because God will not leave you the same, because He loves you too much. And He's already declared you're a new creature in Christ, and we're going to begin to see you go through that transition and that transformation of being the new creature, person God created you. And sometimes it gets really ugly. Sometimes it gets really miserable. But God loves you, and so do we. We've had people try to make us reject them. And I'll always share with our leadership and our teams that pray, when someone is trying to get you to reject them, you just move right on in. Jesus doesn't reject us. He's always calling us closer to Him. It doesn't matter what you do. He's not going to reject you. God loves you. We can act out all we want, but God is still going to keep working on us, and nothing's going to change till you change. Hallelujah. People will change churches. They'll change marriages. They'll try and change their kids and exchange them for someone else's kids. But hallelujah. The problems are still there, because the problem is that we need to change. God wants us to look at things differently. I believe through this whole COVID-19 thing, He has given us a new wineskin so we can receive what God is doing in 2020, soon to be 2021. Hallelujah. And by the way, this is the Jewish New Year. Yes, it's 5781. And so, Happy New Year. It's Rosh Hashanah. And this is a season of, these next 10 days are the holiest days in the Jewish faith. And they believe that at the end of these 10 days at Yom Kippur, your life is set for the coming year by the way you position yourself before the Father. So this is a week of getting with God and positioning ourselves before Him. We should always be doing that. But this is a specific time set aside on God's calendar. You see, God doesn't go by our calendar. God has His own calendar in the Scripture. And it's celebrated with feasts. And so we want to be aware of what God's calendar is saying to us. And so we celebrate that new year with our Jewish brothers and sisters and God's timepiece. How can you deny God's timepiece? We can't. It is clear in the Scripture how God keeps time. And so I encourage you, get with God this week. Get before Him and position yourself for the coming year. Position yourself. God is preparing us. He never leaves us without a remedy. Tell your neighbor, God has a remedy. I'm telling you, Janice, God has a remedy. He has the answers. We try to pull strength from every place, but we've got to pull our strength and wisdom from the Lord. And then we pray with one another as the body of Christ. You know, we're all connected. So we're all in this together. Amen. So as we abide in God, He abides in us. And we know though we are weak, He is strong. And He is always with us. We're stronger together. Tell someone we're stronger together. When we're weak, there's no doubt that it's God's strength that carries us through. The last two Sundays, we had some testimonies. And you know what? It's so good to hear how God's strength is carrying the people of God through every test, trial, situation. God never fails. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that God never fails. You know, when we're connected to the vine, think about that. We're connected to the vine. God never fails. We're in the source. We can be confident that God is going to see us through. Thank you, Lord. We thank God you're here this morning. Richard and Teresa, or Robert and Teresa, it's so good to see you. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Teresa here today. Did you walk with Teresa? They live a few blocks down, so you got a nice ride in your wheelchair this morning, right? Praise God. We're so thankful for the effort they made to come today. Father, let's just extend our hands. Father, we thank you for Robert and Teresa. We thank you, Lord God, for your anointing upon their life, Lord. Thank you for this couple, this godly couple that sets an example, Lord, for all Christians to see of how we care for one another. Lord, I thank you that they're a team that works together. Lord, bless them, strengthen them, supply their needs, Lord God. And we thank you for the blessing they are to our River of Life family in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise for Robert and Teresa. It's so good to see them. We're stronger together. So together, God's strength is magnified. And we pull on the strength that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at Romans 12, 4 through 6. We're many members. The Scripture tells us. You ready to read? For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same gift function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And that passage goes on and talks about ministry. If that's your gift, then use your faith in ministering. If it's teaching, then exhort and encourage and teach by faith. God gives us, if it's in generosity, if it's in giving, then give liberally. Give liberally, the scripture says. And he who leads, let's lead with diligence. And when you show mercy, show it with cheerfulness. And so we're many members. We have different functions. Every function's important. Every function in your body's important. We had several people stub toes this summer. And we found out that, you know, toes, they affect our whole body when a toe hurts. Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Was that Becky said amen? I think she was one of them that stubbed her toe. Little toe. Yeah, that member will holler, won't it? But we are all members, and right down to the smallest part, which you would consider the smallest part, you find out is an important part. Everyone in the body of Christ is important, and everyone has a function. And so God brings us together, and he weaves us together like a rope into a much stronger unit. And we support each other, and we function as God's hands and feet and his mouthpiece. We're his voice in the earth. So we are to continue to pursue togetherness in God's love. And let's lean in. I encourage you. Let's lean in together for a deeper relationship and to support one another. And you know, that's the way the early church worked. They all worked together. They were risking their lives to follow Jesus Christ. And you know, we read in the New Testament about how they brought all their goods together to make sure that nobody was without. And I'm not saying we should go back to how they lived. I'm just simply saying that it's important to be aware of one another's needs. It's important that you make your need known. If you make your need known to the body of Christ, we can pray. And honestly, if we can help, we will help. We have a wonderful group of people that are so generous with their time and their resources. So many Americans live as an individual. You know, that image of the rugged individual has really been, we see it in Hollywood, and some of you are old enough to remember the old Western movies. Whoever watched The Lone Ranger? Oh, yeah. Yes, you know, it's like being a rugged cowboy who rode alone was really at the forefront of the culture. And there are a lot of strong leaders in America. And they can portray that they are rugged individuals, kind of like a lone wolf, and doing it all alone. But that's not how God intended any of us to live. And those who are leaders realize, hopefully, it takes a whole group of people working together to accomplish the goal. Amen? But I did want to share just a little bit about the wolf image, that lone wolf image. It's really inaccurate because in reality, wolves live in packs. They are pack animals who live and die together, and they have well-organized social structures. And within the pack, Each wolf has a different role, and each one of them does its part to keep the whole pack alive and thriving. They hunt and eat together. They mark their territory, and they protect their home together. And they look out for each other. They know that what's good for the pack is good for each individual animal. And in fact, the alpha wolf will actually make sure the pups are fed and have enough food before the rest of the pack is allowed to dig into the meal. So wolf life is about pack life. There are some lone wolves, but there are explanations for that. Sometimes a wolf will be pushed out because of sickness, and it can't. There is a scarcity of food. And sometimes the younger wolf is sent out, ventures out to start another pack. And so living as a lone ranger or a lone wolf, a loner, is not what they would consider a normal lifestyle. They actually would consider the wolf, if they can consider anything, they instinctually know it's dangerous. And they don't have the liberty to howl at the moon. You know, we see wolves howling at the moon. They don't have that liberty because that lone wolf does not want to disclose its location. So it can find itself in quite a predicament when it separates from the pack. We humans are a lot like wolves. We're to grow together in families and in groups. And from the very moment we're born, we come out of our mother's womb with lots of needs that we cannot meet ourselves, but we are dependent upon another human being to feed us, to take care of us, to watch over us, to keep us safe. And scientists have discovered several things about the bonding that goes on between mother and child with newborns, and the importance of children being held in nurseries. In there's often people who come in and just hold babies when their parents can't be there, because that human touch is so important. And so as humans, we belong together. We're drawn together. And we have a world of social media and technology, which is wonderful. And it serves a place, but it's never the same as sitting down at the table across from someone and having a conversation. When we were in lockdown, my brother David and his wife Sandra, they had a family Zoom lunch. And so we all took our lunch and we ate together on Zoom. And maybe some of the rest of you have done family Zoom events. And so that was a new experience. But it's not the same as being together and the grandkids running around and laughing and carrying on and just the warmth of being together. Connection and relationship really aren't a luxury for us. They are a need. God designed us to be connected in relationship because they are the very reflection of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God calls us into relationship with Him. And He also calls us into relationship and community with each other. His work on the earth for us is a relational work. We should know one another. And sometimes life gets way too full and we don't take that time. So I'm putting a challenge out there. Take the time to be relational. One thing I love about our elder Carol, and she's always done this from the times that her and Ron have been with us from the very beginnings of the church. She's very relational. As soon as she meets you, she wants to take you to coffee. Elders Jim and Carol, they'll take you to lunch. They enjoy taking people to lunch. You'll find that our spiritual oversight, our leaders here, are very relational. And sometimes people don't know how to handle that. But But I believe God is challenging us over this next year to learn how to have relationships and healthy relationships. And we're going to be having life groups regarding that. How to have a healthy relationship. How to bond with one another according to God's way. It's amazing how skewed relationships have become in our culture. And so God made us relational. And often we'll reach out and end up in an abusive relationship or a very dysfunctional relationship because we have this craving and need for relationship, and we don't know how to handle it or how to get out of it or what to do. But God does. Tell your neighbor, God does. And above all things, you know what? He wants us to have healthy relationships in our families, in our workplaces, within the church. Wherever we go, church, we should be an example of a healthy relationship. Jesus' original disciples lived in relationship with Jesus. He was out frying fish for them. Kind of reminds me of Pastor Leonard. He'll fry you some fish. Hallelujah. You could find him down at the riverbank frying fish. So we join together as the body of Christ. And I don't want to give anyone the impression that this church is perfect. Or this church family is perfect, because we're probably far from it. The thing that makes us different is that we're willing to learn, we're willing to grow, we're willing to stick it out when things get rough. We're not going to take off. We see people take off when things get rough. They hightail it out of here. Hello, it's like, where'd you go? We might bicker, we might disagree. Sometimes there's sibling rivalry within the family of God. But you know what? God will work that out. We don't play church here. We're not interested in religious politicking. I grew up in that, we grew up in that, and we're not interested in that. We're interested in what God has for the church as a family, as building relationships, as treating one another with respect and honor, and knowing that everybody brings something of value because God made you in His image. You are valuable, and you always have a place at the table, at the river of life in this family. Thank you, Lord. So we do our best to live like Jesus. We give grace because we need to receive grace. I will sow grace because I know there's going to be a time that I need that grace. And treating one another with humility. There is no one that is better than someone else. And so if you have that image of yourself, God's going to heal you over this next year. It's another thing we're going to address is that one-up relationship. We are adults. We respect and honor authority. But when you're growing up, there's this one-up relationship. Because the parent knows where the food is, right? So the child is always looking. And that's good. You train your child, you teach your child, but there comes a point in relationship, even with your own children, that those things change. You're still in relationship, but you're both adults. They still honor your position, but you are not telling them what to do and when they can eat and where they can go. So if that's going on in your family, that's really dysfunctional. Hallelujah. God's going to work on us this year. Are you ready for it? Yes, Lord. Work on our hearts, Lord. Because He's going to make us more like Him, which will cause us to be more effective in our lives, in our families, in our businesses, in our relationships, in the world, in reaching people. Because people are going to say, I want what they have. They're different. I want that. So as we come to a close today, it's important to remember that like the rope, we're stronger together. That together, our lives join together, and God weaves us together. And as we're connected to the vine, we are fed, we are nourished, our souls are restored. And we see families that are restored. And so let's not neglect the meeting of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:24 through 25 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many see the day approaching? Oh, Jesus, we know that day's approaching. And so the enemy would want to separate us. He would want to keep us from coming together. But God said we're to assemble together. And so much the more. And why do we do that? To stir up love. To stir up encouragement. To stir it up and encourage you. Keep doing your good works. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. No matter the resistance that comes against us, the scripture tells us to resist the enemy. We're to move into that situation. We're to press back. We are to pray and to know what to say. Sometimes we don't know what to say. But we can trust God that He's given us a learned tongue. That learned tongue comes from the Lord. The Lord has given me a learned tongue. My tongue has learned to not say things when I am tempted to. I got a learned tongue. And in addition to that, the Lord gives us wisdom on what to say. Hallelujah. Okay, I could preach a whole nother message. And we need to go. And I'm going to call Pastor Jay if he'll head this way. Oh, not Pastor Jay. I'm calling up Gabe in just a minute. And he's going to come and receive the offering. So let's pray over this word as Gabe comes this morning. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you, Father. Let it just settle in our hearts, God, that you have woven us together. You have connected us to you. And Lord, that we are stronger together. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that has not confessed with their mouth and believed in their heart that you are the Son of God, Lord, that you died and rose again, Father, I pray today they will receive you as their Lord and Savior. And also, Lord God, rededicating our lives to you during this holy season, Father, I just thank you that you draw us close to you, that you position us where we're supposed to be, and Lord God, that we hear your voice and we grow in truth. We grow closer to you and one another. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you.